Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no guessing about it. You can see the title of our message this morning, God's Elementary School. Based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, let me read to you verses 5 through 7. Then Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am speaking to you today shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." I encourage you to follow the sermon outline, which is on the back of the handout you were given today, as we consider our theme, God's Elementary School. Once upon a time, there was a papa rooster and a mama hen, and they had a cute little baby chick. "This chick is never going to scratch out a living like I had to," said Papa Rooster. "He's going to have everything he possibly could need to become a successful bird." And Mama and Papa worked their beaks off providing for the baby chick. He wore the shiniest feathers in all the chicken yard. He was allowed only to associate with the purebred chickens. "I want" is all he ever had to say, and it was his. In chicken school, he was the captain of the chicken basketball team. He was the leader of the school crowing choir. He was voted the chicken most likely to make tracks. He went to Red Rooster University, and his future seemed bright. But one day, tragedy struck. He disappeared and was never heard of again. The last anybody ever saw him, he was tucked under the arm of a hungry homeless person heading down to a campfire by the railroad tracks. This chick's parents had given him everything except the one thing he absolutely needed. They never taught him the most important lesson: how to spot danger and how to save his own life. Well, what is most important? Some would argue that which is most important is what you want to pass on to your children or to your grandchildren or to the young folks of this congregation, the future generation. And whether you're considering your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, the young folks in this church, what are you planning to pass on to them? What is the inheritance you want to leave them? What is the priceless treasure you want them to take with them after you're gone? Now, we all have things that are important to us in our lives. Things like homes, finances, heirlooms, traditions, hobbies, and sports. But what is most important? What is lasting and eternal? Today's sermon will tell us there is only one thing lasting and eternal, and that is what this Sunday in our church is all about. Today is the beginning of the new year of Christian education in our congregation. In the past, in many churches, this was called Rally Day, when the entire congregation was called to come back from summer break and rally around the study of God's Word together from Sunday school through every class for every age. Today, we began Sunday school for our young people. If you didn't make it today, we will resume again next week as well. Today began our new adult Bible class, ESL. Bible class on Sunday mornings have continued. Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., our men's group for breakfast and Bible study resumes. Wednesday at 10 a.m., the women's group resumes. Thursdays at 12:30, soon our new Lifelight classes will start. Thursdays at 9:30 a.m., the moms and tots group begin. Friday nights, the young adult starts at 7 o'clock. The new youth group begins later this month, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Whew! So many opportunities there are in our congregation to rally around God's Word. Will you join the rally? Now, really, there's only one thing lasting and eternal, and that is God's holy word. That is what Moses told the children of Israel so many centuries ago in our text from Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to read it to you again. Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I'm speaking to you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, to summarize this passage in a message you can all take home with you. I believe it's on your handout as well. We're talking about a living relationship with a living God by means of His living Word. One more time. A living relationship with the living God by means of His living Word. Today, we have one thing that's eternal that we can pass on to our children. Do you want to see it? Here it is. The Holy Word of God. Now, see, like Mama Hen and Papa Rooster in the opening parable, we can give our children and we can give our next generation all that this world has to offer. And yet, without God's Holy Word, they can end up, as the Bible says, gaining the whole world, but losing their soul. And in the face of a rapidly changing world, can you believe how quickly things change in our lives today? In a face of a world filled with sin and death and the lies of the devil, in a world filled with people turning their backs on everything godly and right and holy, God's Word alone is a beacon of truth and a light to eternity. And here's a secret. It's not just the job of the church or the pastor to pass this message on. There's a wonderful old saying that puts it this way. The saying goes like this. An ounce of parent is worth a pound of pastor. Let's say it again. An ounce of parent is worth a pound of pastor. And I wonder how many of you remember that Luther's Small Catechism that we review every Sunday in worship, that's used as the basis for our youth confirmation, that's used as the basis for our adult instruction class. Luther's Small Catechism was written by Luther to place into the hands of parents to teach it and give it to their children at home. And mother and father, grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, we're reminded in our text today to talk about God every day of our lives, to be a model of the godly life, Monday through Saturday, as well as Sunday. Now today, let's even get more specific and more practical. How can we pass on this holy faith? The Old Testament prophet Hosea tells us in his 11th chapter. In Hosea 11, he invites us to what we want to call today God's elementary school. Here we see how God teaches and nurtures us and how in turn we can do the same for the next generation. First, Hosea tells us that we pass on the faith by the way we model love and care and affection for others. Listen to Hosea chapter 11, 1-4. God says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. It was I who taught him how to walk. I took Israel up in my arms. It was I that healed them. I led them with cords of compassion. I bent down and I fed them. Here we see our dear Lord dealing with the rebellious and sinful people of Israel. He doesn't just talk about his love for them. He demonstrates it. Hosea paints a picture of God seeking out and bringing home a runaway rebellious child. Here in this text, we see God teaching Israel how to walk properly. How many of you here remember teaching your little toddlers how to take their first steps? Do you remember that? In this text, this is the picture of God and His people. Next, we see God kissing and healing Israel's scraped knees. How many boo-boos have you kissed, put band-aids on, and loved with your children? Here we see God bending down as a big parent to a little child, looking that child eye to eye. Here we see a picture of God holding Israel close, hugging them, feeding them, caring for them. Now, though my children are now adults, I recall and I miss those days fondly. In these loving actions of God in this text, God wants us to see ourselves showing our children and our youth how to walk properly in the ways of God, bringing them to Jesus, the true healer of scraped knees and broken hearts and wounded souls, feeding them with the heavenly bread, which is the Word of God. And you know as well as I do, so often actions speak louder than words. Would you say that phrase with me? Actions speak louder than words. Another way to say this would be the Christian faith is more caught than it's taught. That is, a life of faith and love, lived and demonstrated, gives much greater influence than just words that are spoken. We can communicate to our children and the next generation in this church, do as I do, not just as I say. A day like today, Rally Day, but a day like every Sunday gives every adult the opportunity to model for their children the importance of faithful worship and attendance around God's Word in Bible class. You see, what's important to adults in the life of a child becomes important to them. Actions do speak louder than words. If you were to go to my office, you'd see a number of framed pictures. One that I particularly treasure is I'm dressed in a Yankee cap and a Yankee jacket. Christopher is dressed in a Yankee cap and a Yankee jacket. Abigail is dressed in a Yankee cap and a Yankee jacket. And we're off to the playground to play baseball. No influence at all in their lives by their parents, right? No. What's important to an adult that's important in the children's life becomes important to them. Actions do speak louder than words. Another way to teach and pass on the faith, according to our text from Hosea 11, God's elementary school, another way we teach and pass on the faith is by discipline, by disciplining with the law of God. Listen to the text. Hosea says, because my people refuse to return to me, the sword will whirl against their cities, demolish their gates and consume them because they have turned from me. We see here in the text that the Lord loved His people enough to discipline them. And the severity of His discipline matched the severity of their offense. For these people of Israel, whom the Lord God loved, had turned their backs on God and were following after all the idols of the nations around them. And God brought His judgment upon them. His discipline was not given just to vent His anger. His discipline was to show them the seriousness of their rebellion. But especially it was given to drive them back into His arms of love and forgiveness. Listen to this very carefully. Because God loves, He disciplines. The same can be said with adults and younger people. Now, we can see ourselves in this same act of discipline in our church and in our homes. Every Sunday school lesson, every Bible class, every sermon, every family devotional time and family time around the dinner table gives us an opportunity to proclaim and to live God's holy law. Not just to vent anger, God's or ours, but to show the seriousness of our sin, where rebellion leads us, but especially to show God's delight in forgiving. My friends, let's be honest. We live in a day, increasingly so, where there's no longer any right or wrong. A day in which schools and governments are afraid to offend anybody by standing up for God's truth. But may this congregation and may each of our homes be the place where God's truth is spoken clearly. May we be the clear voice of God that says, but God says no. Finally, in Hosea's chapter about God's elementary school, we learn that the faith can especially be passed on by proclaiming and demonstrating the love of the gospel. Listen to how Hosea's text ends. God says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I surrender you, Israel? My heart is turned within me. I will not execute my fierce anger. For I am God and not man. I am the Holy One in your midst. Did you catch that? In spite of Israel's sin and rebellion, it's God's desire to restore and to forgive. He can't give them up. He can't surrender them. He can't destroy them with the anger their sins deserve. Why? Because He loves them so. Because He loves you so. Thank God, because He loves me so. He calls Himself the Holy One in their midst. This means, to be holy means that God is apart from sin. That God wants nothing to do with sin. To be the Holy One means that sin and sinners are melted in His holy presence. Like when an ice cube is thrown into the fire. But God calls Himself the Holy One in our midst. This can't be. This is illogical. Fire and ice can't exist together. Aha! But God's love makes the impossible possible. His love for sinners means that He has come to be with sinners. That He has come to be for sinners. The Holy One in our midst means He has come to bear your sins, to bear mine, to forgive your sins, to forgive mine, to pay for your sins, to pay for mine. Let's do something a little un-Lutheran this morning. Let's say, Amen. Amen. The Holy One in our midst has come. And He has come to restore and to forgive and to make whole. As we know so well from John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You see, here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Here's the basis and foundation for everything God does for us in His elementary school, the church, and in every Christian home. Here is the one ingredient that must never be left out of any sermon, any Bible class, any Sunday school lesson, any family devotion time, any time as a family together, the mercy and forgiveness of God. If this church or any Christian church loses the central message of the forgiveness of sins and the mercy of God, it's time for us to close up shop, sell the building, and build some more condos, as if we need any more of those enrichment. But we have the riches of God, the forgiveness of sins. And did you know that the love and mercy of God in the gospel, as it's taught and modeled, can change a life forever? It can change the life, especially of a young person. The final story I want to share with you is a story that I have shared with a few of you in our congregation. But because my mother is here today, I need to share this story in conclusion. It illustrates the truth that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of God and the mercy of God, lived and modeled, changes a life for eternity. Mrs. Miller was my favorite Sunday school teacher. She was a 4'10" bundle of love and energy for the students in her Sunday school class. She especially was nice to me, and she always was asking me questions like, how are you doing in school? How is your baseball team doing? She was made me glad that I was in her church Sunday school class. At the end of the class, she always seemed to arrange it that I could help her clean up and erase the chalkboard. She knew that I came from a family that was struggling and quite poor, actually. After helping her clean up the room, she would always reach into her purse and give me a piece of candy and a nickel. So I could, at that time, in the 60s, go to the store and buy a package of baseball cards. She taught me God's Word. Mrs. Miller taught me God's Word and modeled His love for me. Many years passed, and Mrs. Miller's hair turned gray, and I finished my studies to become a pastor. At the night of my ordination service to become a new pastor in the Lutheran Church, there sat Mrs. Miller way in the back. At the end of the service, when I walked down the center aisle, I glanced over to her, and she stood up, her full 4'10", on the back pew, she stood up and went like this, as a sign of celebration. And after everybody else greeted me at the back door, Mrs. Miller came up to me and hugged me, congratulated me that being a pastor, and then she reached into her purse, and she gave me a piece of candy, and she gave me a nickel. That was the highlight of my ordination service in becoming a pastor. Mrs. Miller is in heaven now, but her godly influence in my life for over 45 years ago changed my life and set me on the path to becoming a pastor and a seminary professor. All of you who are adults here today, or who can act like adults, never underestimate the eternal difference you can make in the life of a child, or another adult for that matter, as you both proclaim to them and demonstrate to them the love of God in Jesus Christ. Dear people of Trinity Lutheran Church, adults, youth, and children, blessed rally day to you. Please let today be a brand new beginning in your life as you as an individual and a family pledge to come to this place and on a regular basis rally around the study of God's holy word. School's in session. Welcome to a brand new term here at God's Elementary School. You'll be glad you did. In the name of Jesus, amen.